Morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Thank you. Will do.
Hey, ladies, how's it going?
How are you doing today?
Yeah.
You doing that?
Yeah.
Good morning to you guys. There's a lot going on. How you feeling, Addy? You doing okay? Okay. Good to see you all today.
Let me give you a card. This is my cell phone. We don't have somebody in the office here all the time. So that's my cell phone.
Okay. Well,
feel free to give me a call. Whether Sue's available, and maybe you're not thinking our whole family, but
So I don't know if students can go up to me.
Yeah, we're talking to I think the kids would like something simple.
Okay. Well, they need to be stretched. We'll just get them a small amount.
Okay.
And make sure we get some rice, too.
Oh, you're right.
We'll work on that, and we'll talk this week. Good to see you all. I have not gotten an answer back from Natalie, but I also want to talk this week about our church information. By the way, do you have another one of your books? I think that's my last one for now. Let me look on that. I might have another one. I'm not sure.
Why do we need another one?
Gary, the one who meets
another school year, or
yeah, we'll get by one. What'll be fine? We're both doing it, so everybody.
Okay. Well, I'll look, and if I find one, I'll grab it.
Okay, well, I think they're $14. So what I would do is just drop in the office and just say that they're for, you know, for a good, well, good. Well, good to see y'all. And I think as far as I know, I'm on prayer on Tuesdays. Friday, probably like noonish.
I'll be headed out to go down to Western Kansas.
Yeah.
So pray for us in that.
I think things are going to work out fine, but it's a very small, very rural church.
Yeah. You know, kind of are not drawing the next generation now. The older generation. So, anyway, the Presbytery asked me if I'd be part of this commission to go there and help them work out for that. Thank you. Good to see y'all. Have a good week.
Good morning. Thank you for that sermon. That was very good. And there's a song that has this phrase in it: "Keep thou me from consumption."
Yes, yes.
I don't know which one it is.
I think it's 16.
That language of presumption didn't make it into the new song. So, anyway, I was disappointed. But it's still in there. Right. You're saying something. I've got a hymn running in the back of my mind that's telling all of the stuff that you're talking about. Even for the doctrine that you say when you finish.
Today? Yes, today.
I have a we used to sing that all the time in Methodist Church as a choir.
So it always goes through my head, I think, oh, I wish we could sing it.
But it's that all those very words, you know. And I have that same thing, this song, where, you know, I'll hear it. For me, it's exactly the opposite. I'll hear a hymn tune, I'm like, I really depend on, I go back to a hymn very quickly because I used to have to play piano for choir, and because I wasn't very good at piano yet, I would practice and I go through the hymnal. And in practicing, I picked up the words as well, too.
Well, and when we meditate, whatever we meditate on, those are the things that are written on our hearts, aren't they?
What have I been meditating on? I don't know.
Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are lovely. True, especially. Uh-huh. That's the hard part to me. I have a granddaughter that is just flipping completely out. And her own personal life. I need to go see her, and I tried yesterday, but she was
there.
Hey guys. Mary's daughter, Zoe. Is she a nurse student? Well, she works as a CTN or whatever they call that.
In the medical
field. Yeah, and that's what's gotten her down, partly. This COVID is everywhere, you know, and especially the spike in the number of people that are she says. It's affected their staff as well. They don't have the bedding that they need. They don't have the food services that they need and all that kind of stuff. So
you know what I heard? I was talking to this guy, Rebecca Adams. So the hospital told her that if you are associated with people outside the hospital, and inadvertently bring COVID in, you will be terminated. So essentially, keeping her from, you know, it's like, you know, we need you, you know, to come on, work with this COVID patient. But if you introduce the name, I mean, that's the basic.
But that right there is a fallacy. It seems to blame somebody for bringing something in. You know,
first of all,
who knows?
That's
not right at all.
Right.
But obviously, you can't take the court of law.
Right.
You're really country. It's all. Who knows? I really don't know.
Well, I've never seen a year like this.
Yes. Oh, what a strange year. And sounds like we're on the cusp of some changes, but.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too. Yeah.
All right.
Good to see you. Hey, gentlemen. How are you going?
Good.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Hey, man. Welcome. Glad to be here today. So are you guys passing through, or?
Yeah, we were just up in Lawrence this weekend. So we're going to head back to Manhattan.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I always love it when you guys show up. It's hard for you to sneak in the room.
I don't mean to get something like that, but I did use that a while back. You shared like a few questions that I should ask, like to start a conversation about what we believe, like Catholic.
Yeah.
And I went on a walk with my roommate, who is an RPer, and then just a few Catholics in my chemistry group, and I asked them those questions, and it opened up like a 3-hour conversation. They didn't really know what they believed, but it was really good to just ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes you think about on what basis do I believe this?
Yeah.
And that was the thing that Luther was really pushed back to. Initially, the argument that he was having was over indulgence. But very quickly, as he and the church collided, he found himself pressed back to, well, how do I know what I'm saying is true? Thus saith the Lord. And then go back to the church. Hey guys.
Hello.
See ya.
Have you heard?
Yep, see ya. Hey.
No, I mean, it makes sense because I'm on my birthday when I was at home.
Hey. Thanks. It was free.
Yesterday went with the
Yeah. It was a, so there were, I'm guessing there were about 150 there. So it was a decent amount. You know, it feels a lot smaller when you're there underneath the huge Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on the south steps. It wound up being two rallies that merged into one.
Mm.
So there was the Stop the Steal rally, which somebody else was involved in organizing. And then there was the Jericho March prayer rally. So people just kind of came together. It wasn't real clearly organized.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't, there wound up being no separation between the two. So we were all together. So basically we had, so I prayed at the beginning, and then gave the pew also. So we both said a few things. It was brief, but and encouraged people to be praying while they were, you know, while they were walking. And everybody,
yeah.
You know, very, very supportive of that. Then started walking, and it was kind of more chanting, even more. You know, everybody's carrying Trump 2020 flags,
mm-hmm.
and you know, kind of there was definitely a political flair to it.
Well, and that's the email I got was definitely, you know,
okay.
In support of Trump. And it was just really, when I saw it the first time, I'm like, oh, that's just kind of strange. What's that going to mean? When is the,
yeah.
you know, will the
yeah.
media actually catch on to that?
Yeah.
Will they know what
yeah.
the Jericho March is about?
Right, yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I think, there was something big going on in Washington, D.C. I didn't see any reference to Jericho March anywhere. You know, but again, I think, it's my position that this is not interpreting the Bible. This is, you know, we're being inspired by a story from our religious scripture. You know, somebody made the comment, this whole building would be coming, it would come falling down, and we would get accused of terrorism. There's some of the, you know, strange things, you know,
yeah.
that go on, and but I think that it was nonetheless, the kid went with me, and we walked 7 times around.
Can we get
them? Well, they walked 7 times around the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so. Walking around, chanting, Stop the Steal, 4 more years, We Love President Trump, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And I was like, okay. So we just walked and prayed, you know, and we walked around how many times? 4 times?
4 times.
And then we just went back to the steps, sat down and prayed for, you know, probably 10 minutes. And then, and this is what I think I've come to expect for these things. This is not the time for deep thought. You know, this is not analytical time. This is, we want our voices heard. And I think, you know, and I think that that's fine. That's a rare to build on.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have people there who are leading us to the throne of God, who are, you know, reminding us of what is ultimately true. But I was telling the kids, you know, Stop the Steal. I'll chant that one. I want every legal vote counted. You know, but...
Doesn't sound very good, though, does it?
But
it sure sounds better.
But We Love Trump for 4 more years. Like, nah, that's campaign record.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign is over.
It doesn't point us to the ultimate truth.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, none of it does. It points us to a political candidate. You know,
points us to hope that in a person.
Well, and again, the problem there is the minds of the people who are at the rally, and that's where again, you know, the way that changes is as God's people are there, you know. And have their Bible, and pray,
mm-hmm.
and again, I was honored. Come on, you know. And so I was on the bullhorn, you know, opening prayer, and it was cool, you know.
Well, even just that, yeah, and that means a bunch of people, you know, and I'm like, because I've been sitting there thinking about it, like, okay, I don't know, because it is, when I first read it, I was just like, this is just weird.
Yeah.
But then it's like, God always uses everything in some way.
Yeah. And I think this is not, you know, this is where common grace is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm stepping into the public square with my conviction. I'm not here to learn. I'm not here to debate. I'm here to express my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the way I want to do that is I want to pray. I want to open my Bible. I had my Bible open, you know, and I read from that.
Right.
Like, and everyone's like, yeah. And that just kind of went on from that to, you know, to political stuff. And it was like, well, what I did was important, you know. And
exemplifying where we are.
Not touching.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it is ridiculous. You just kind of, I would love to speak out about just everything that's going on, mm-hmm. but there's a time.
Well, and again, these are places, you know, Kevin Mullen often going to stuff like this. He had a track, no matter who's president, Jesus is king. Mm-hmm. And we went to a rally in 2020,
mm-hmm.
And we passed those out. That was one of the last things we did together before we moved away. But it was neat to, you know, and Kevin was good at the written thing, you know. And I think that's a strategy that I'm, and I thought about it yesterday, but I didn't have any of the right strategies.
Well, it can be a catalyst for good conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was a good cast. We spoke about it yesterday in our Saturday night. Just kind of, at some point when it's just like, because we're talking, I'm like, all right, ladies, let's just go where we need to be.
Yeah.
Let's look at this scripture here that we're in study group.
Uh-huh.
So we're using, I don't know if you know, Bible Study Fellowship actually produced an app, which I think
Yes.
It's not real detailed, it's just very broad overstrokes, but it's still pointing us where we need to.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that's so important. So important. What we're doing is important. Here he is. Yep. All right, so I thought what we would do today is look at, I want us to use, open both your catechisms, and I want to go through the first catechism, but I want to think about what questions does it match up with in the shorter catechism. Okay, and there's kind of sections here. So we're not gonna recite the questions today. Rather, I want you to just look at them. So first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna group which questions in the first catechism go together. We're gonna figure out what is that topic, and then we're gonna think about. So you'll need to be able to flip between both of them and see the different sections. All right. So Anna, why don't you do the first one? In the first catechism, what questions would you say go together as a group? Look at the first about five. I think there's a distinct group, a couple within there. But what would you say is the first grouping? What do you think, Nick?
I think the first grouping is like 1 through 13, just like all about God.
1 through 13, okay, you're going big here. Okay.
It's all like, what is God? Where is God?
Uh-huh.
How does God make you? Why did God make you?
You glorify God. Okay. I would argue that section starts in question six. I think there's something before. I think in the first five you can see either one or you can see two. What would the first two questions be about, Anna? Nope, I don't think so. I mean, God does it, but what does God do? Okay, make stuff. God makes me. Where would you go in the catechism then? Where would that theme match up in the catechism? I would say in the shorter catechism. Questions 9 and 10 those two especially. What is creation? God made everything, and then God made man, male and female. I love how they say it here. Who made you? It forces you to think about, well, who am I? Kind of like the sermon today. Uzziah, who are you? Well, I'm a creature of God. That right there, I think, would have reoriented him from his pride. Okay, so then questions 3 through 5, Anna, what would you say those are about? There's one word that is either in, and it's not God, either in the question or the answer of all three of them. Okay. So why creation? That's what I'd say. What's the purpose of creation? And what is it? Okay, glory is a concept. What is the purpose of creation? Use glory in a sentence, Anna.
I don't know, Dad.
It's harder for Anna and grasp these abstract concepts.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
What was the question?
Why did God make you and all things? this is introducing a concept here. But why did God do creation?
For His glory.
For His glory. And how do we practically glorify God?
By loving Him and doing what He
did. Okay. So where would this concept of glorifying God? It's not just glory in general. There's all kinds of glory. It's the concept of living for God's glory in the world. Where would you match that up in the Shorter Catechism? How about
first question?
Okay. And the second question.
Okay.
At least the first two, maybe the first three. Okay. I think are related to that. Okay, so then we come to your section, Nick. I think that's good. And this is, remember, theos is the Greek word for God. So when we say theology, some people say theology proper. What we're studying is we're studying God, the character of God. And Anna, which ones in the Shorter Catechism would be about God specifically? Okay. And okay, at least six, maybe, and you might go all the way through verse 12. Again, there's interrelationship there, but at least 4 through 6, I think, are good. Okay, Anna, how would you summarize questions 14 and 15? Okay, and how about in the catechism? In the Shorter Catechism, I would say questions 2 and 3 match up with those. The only authority is the Bible. What does the Bible primarily teach? Nick, how would you summarize question 3? What does the Bible primarily teach? Two things.
About God.
Okay. Gospel, truth, and
law.
Okay. What, people don't use that word very much. What is that? What is that category in ordinary language? Gospel, truth, what we believe, blank, how we ought to live. Requirements. Okay. Yeah. God's moral instruction. What you should do and shouldn't do?
The rules, I guess.
The rules, yeah. Okay. Okay. So then how about 16 through 19? These are all dealing with Adam and Eve and the creation at the beginning. Where would that be in the Shorter Catechism? What would you say, Nick?
9 and 10.
Okay.
I see 13 as well.
13? Okay. Good.
And 12, I guess.
Good. Yeah, so we can keep going, but But I think question 20 then. Kind of going back and forth between me and Adam and Eve. Me and Adam and Eve. Anyway, let's read a few of these. Beginning with in the first catechism with question 19. All right. Anna, what else did God give Adam and Eve besides bodies? And do you have a soul as well as a body? How do you know your soul will last forever? Good. Nick, in what condition did God make Adam and Eve? And what covenant or agreement did God make with Adam?
A covenant of life.
What is a covenant?
A relationship that God establishes with us and guarantees by his word.
And the covenant of life, what did God require Adam to do?
To obey God perfectly.
What did God promise in the covenant of life?
To reward Adam with life. He obeyed God perfectly.
And what did God threaten in the covenant of life?
To punish Adam with death if he disobeyed God.
Okay, so notice that in the covenant, the first covenant, there's both a promise and a threat. Okay? We need to believe God's promises and we need to tremble at his threats. Okay, what was the threat today? The threat was, if you become proud,
you will be destroyed.
Yeah. Okay. Again, pride leads us ultimately to damnation. We must submit to God. You do not have anything that you have not been given. All right, Anna, did Adam keep the covenant of life?
No, he sinned.
What is sin? Good. What are the two kinds of sin that are being talked about in question 29? Can you put those into words? Lack of conformity to means not doing what you're supposed to do. I'm just kind of talking. What kind of sin is that? That not doing what you ought to do. That's a sin of omission. Okay? Or transgression of the law of God, breaking the boundaries of God's law, doing what you should not do. So one is not doing what you should do, and the other is doing what you should not do. And do you remember what we call that one, Anna? Omission and commission. Okay, to commit sin or to miss.
Yeah.
Both of those are.
I think that in our society today, we think of commission way more often than
yes,
omission.
I totally agree. And
like you're in school and it's like, here are the lists, here are the rules that you must not.
Yeah, these things you cannot do.
Yes.
You may not do in this class.
And even in the
but what should I do? Okay, I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to do weed. I'm not going to... But what should I do while I'm here? Why am I here?
I feel like those ones are left more to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
That teach you how, mm-hmm. just, like, how to live and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's... In the second commandment, especially them, would also come with...
Uh-huh. Don't do this.
Kind of thing
don't
where
do this.
Make them positive. Don't not,
yeah.
Make them not say don't do this.
Yeah.
Make them say,
yeah.
Do this.
And remember that that's where the catechism is helpful. Well, what does this negative commandment require? And you're like, but it's negative. Well, but there's a positive duty implied. And let's state that as beautifully and winsomely, you know. Don't commit adultery. What does that require?
Just like
to be chaste in your singleness, to be loving and faithful in your marriage.
The fourth command is another good one where it's like, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, but also work in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, seven. Yeah.
Don't work on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to the commandment than that. Yeah. Yeah. So question 31, Nick. What is meant by transgression? And what does every sin deserve?
The wrath and curse of God.
Okay. What was the sin? Okay, Anna, back to you. Question 33. What was the sin of our first parents? Who tempted Adam and Eve to this sin? How did Adam and Eve change when they sinned? If you're miserable, you gotta think really carefully. Is there something I'm doing right now that's leading me to be miserable? Now, that's not always the case, but it's a good check mark. You know, a lot of times people are miserable because they are sinful. Because right now I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, am I happy right now? What's going on in your heart? Why are you growling at me? Holy and happy. God made me for His purposes. I want to do the will of God. You know what? You're going to tend to be happy. Okay, question 36. Nick, did Adam act for himself alone in the covenant of life?
No, he represented the human race.
What effect did the sin of Adam have on you and all people?
We are all guilty and sinful.
How sinful are you by nature?
I am corrupt in every part of my being.
What is the sinful nature that we inherit from Adam called?
Original sin.
And can anyone go to heaven with this sinful nature?
No. Our hearts must be changed before you can believe in Jesus and go to heaven.
So, Nicodemus, in John chapter 2, he fell into a very common fallacy. That, by the way, I've seen in my own life, and I've seen a lot of covenant kids fall into. Well, I was born into the church. I was born into God's kingdom. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Do you remember? He turned it completely on its head. In order to enter into the kingdom, you must be born from above. You must be born a second time. That is earth-shattering. Your default is not being a Christian. Your default is being under God's judgment. And what needs to happen? God needs to give me a new heart. I need to believe what He says. My heart needs to be warmed and challenged and converted. Has that happened to you? If it has, then talk about it. Tell people, this is what God did for me. He changed my heart. And if it hasn't, then pray. Pray for that.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you have made. And we love you, and we thank you for giving us a day of rest and a day of worship. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us family together. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk in your ways, to love the things that you love, and to and just thank you for one another. In Jesus' name we pray.
A lot more aware of how to and fiber.
Yeah. Are you going to start eating healthy then?
Aware was the word you used. Yeah. Not transformed. I'm like, how many calories are missing?
At our age, we don't have to worry about calories.
Right. Yeah, that's not. That's not quite how it works.
You will. Yes, we can have a student now.
I'm drinking water.
What, were you not drinking water at all? Were you just like dehydrated all the time?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yes, probably.
But I started drinking water because I wanted something to drink while I was doing school, but I was like, man, sometimes I can't do that with so much.
Like, okay, I need some water. Really, really cold.